Would you open in your Bibles to Psalm 100? Really, the Psalms are the book of praise and gratitude in the Bible. You could choose any number of them. This is a short one. Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who has made us. We are his. We are the people of his pasture. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with joy and praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for God is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Let's pray. Lord, as we just sang, all our lives you've been faithful. You've been there in the good times and the hard times. Lord Jesus, we have so much to be grateful for. You've given us food and clothing and shelter, and if this were not enough, new life in you. And so, Lord, we just, as we come before your word this morning, as we think about all the ways in which we can and should be thankful this week, we pray as we always pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning through your word. And we pray all this only and always in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, saying, amen. Well, again, the Thanksgiving season is upon us once again, and here it comes next Thursday, and it'll be that special time of gluttony, legal gluttony in the church, where we get to gorge on all the traditional fare, the turkey, the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, corn, green beans, squash, cranberries, and pumpkin pie, kind of all the traditional New England fare for the pilgrims. And then after that, if you're a guy, you're probably going to take down your belt a couple notches to watch the Detroit Lions play, because, you know, we have to watch them lose because it's tradition, right, Holly? I just got to say it. We're, you know, yeah. Yeah, we got some Michigan in the house. They don't like that. Yeah, yeah. But Michigan is number one in the country anyway right now, right? Thank you. Football, college. Anywho, do you know that Thanksgiving is a uniquely American and Christian holiday? It sometimes escapes us, I think. Recall, if you will, from history, that after 3 months at sea, 101 pilgrim Christians landed in today what's Plymouth, Massachusetts. They endured a terrible New England weather, winter weather. And in the spring of 1620, you may remember, that's when only half of them survived. Tough time. But with the help of local tribal Indians, the pilgrims learned to plant crops and harvest all of those foods that we like to eat during Thanksgiving meals. Stuff like, like we said, turkeys and stuffing and, you know, corn, beans, all that kind of stuff. And in addition, they taught them how to hunt deer, catch all kind of fish, and shoot wild turkeys. And so their experience turned around greatly that first year, so that in 1621, by October of that year, they decided to have a three-day feast. Heartfelt thanks to God for blessing them so abundantly. And have you ever thought about the first Thanksgiving feast? It was actually an evangelistic opportunity as well, because 90 Wampanoag Indians, along with their chief, Massasoit, were invited to come and take part. And of course, they're like, why are we doing this? What kind of God are you worshiping? And so on and so forth. And instead of bringing dessert, the Indians brought 5 deer, better yet. Fun fact. Keep that feast going for 3 days. So in the history of Thanksgiving, as the video talked about, Thanksgiving was celebrated sort of intermittently until 1863, as the video mentioned. President Lincoln proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving to be celebrated every year in November, and he called it this. He said, it will be a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Very Christian oriented. And he called on his fellow Americans. Remember, this is during the Civil War, middle of it, 1863. He said this, we do this with humble penitence for national perverseness and disobedience. So it's confession time, it's praise time, it's thanking time, and we fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty to his hand to heal the wounds of our nation. This is a specifically Christian holiday. confession of sins, praise, thanks to God. That's at the center of the Thanksgiving Day holiday in the United States. You could say, I think, and maybe boil it down, that Thanksgiving each and every year is really about God's people having an attitude of gratitude. That's what I want you to walk away today, an attitude of gratitude. God has been so good to us. We've talked about this in past sermon series, especially the pillars of joy. We talked about gratitude from the Latin gratus. It doesn't simply mean thankful, that's helpful. It actually means pleasing and agreeable. Have you noticed that thankful and grateful people are also pleasing and agreeable people? They have no problem pointing out their appreciation for other people, their thankfulness and their gratitude to God, his free gift of his son. We get the word grace from gratia, hence gratitude. So grace, thankfulness, and being pleasing and agreeable are all part of the equation of this topic as well. Now, in light of all of this, isn't it interesting? In light of all of God's goodness to each and every one of us, how is it that instead of many people having an attitude of gratitude, for so many people, their attitudes are sadly a matter of ingratitude? You see it all around, and sometimes we experience it ourselves. But if you look at the Bible, it's filled to the brim with people who are grateful to God for one thing or another. And if you look at particularly the Psalms, that's the book of praise and thanksgiving in the Bible. People are celebrating God's goodness. Now, digging through the Bible, I found that there are over 200 occurrences of thankfulness to God or gratitude to God in the Bible. Interesting. And a lot of that is found in the Psalms. People have been thanking God for centuries and centuries. But what I also noticed, and I've shared this, I think, in the past, if you look at the letters of Paul, the 13 letters, Paul was always thanking God for something, right? Whether taking care of his own needs or praying for those new converts who believe in Jesus Christ through his short but matchless ministry. In these 13 letters, I found that some 45 times Paul is thanking God. And what I realized was this, 25% of all the occurrences of thanksgiving and gratitude in the Bible come from Paul. And then the light went on. It was like this. How did Paul survive in his ministry? It was a tough one if you read his letters as well as the book of Acts. Well, he's always finding something to be grateful to God for, isn't he? That really changes his heart, his life, right? That's Billy. So if you look at Paul, really Paul is one of the important biblical models of having an attitude of gratitude, right? There's a character study for you. But it is really easy to slip into having a life which is really more of a matter of ingratitude. Just thinking about the holiday season coming up, we want to pray about that. Some of you are already dreading it. It doesn't have to be terrible. It can be mellow and cool. But one thing that drives me crazy about the holidays is ungrateful children. Drives me nuts. I don't know about you. Few of us went to go to Missoula to see the Chosen last night, the first two episodes of season 3. Great thing to do, a lot of fun. We went up there. And son of a gun, if there wasn't a kid in the theater screaming her head off, remember that? Uh-huh. And we're like, ma'am, most of us want to say, hey, can you tend to the kid? I couldn't hear the John the Baptist dialogue. It was ticking me off. And I was like, I wanted to say something, but I figured if I said, hey, can you take the kid out? I'm watching a movie about Jesus, and that might be mean too. Ingratitude or matter of ingratitude, sometimes it's hard to know. But, you know, when a kid is really cutting up in public, really it's a parental issue, isn't it? At that point, right? I think we need to teach children manners. Hello. How about please? Thank you. You're welcome. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Can I get an amen? You know, it would not bother me. I don't see it very often anymore. If somebody just kind of warmed up the seat of Junior in public, I'd be like, praise God. Go. You know, that's so terrible. Is it? Do you want your children and grandchildren to be happy, joyful, Christian human beings? You better teach them this. Ooh, here he goes. Teach them an attitude of gratitude. How about that? Right? Ooh, last night reminded me of this story, kind of like the time when a lady brought her young daughter to the mall. Oh, isn't that precious, right? And she started to throw a little hissy fit because mommy wouldn't buy her a pretty little princess crown and dress. Ever seen that happen? Despite all the chaos, you know, the little girl was causing, the mother did nothing but repeat, "Now, don't worry, Karen. It will be all right, Karen. We'll soon be home, Karen." Impressed by her so-called enlightened parenting, a nearby mother expressed her gratitude for her calm parenting in this situation and addressed the little brat saying, "Now, Karen, what seems to be the matter?" And the young mother piped up and said, "Oh, no, ma'am, you're mistaken. This is my daughter, Mary. I'm Karen." Now, Karen, don't worry, Karen. It'll be all right, Karen. We'll soon be home, Karen. It's not helping with an attitude of gratitude, people. We have an old-fashioned word for that. Ooh, it's called being spoiled. Spoiled rotten. You know what the Bible says? It says, if you don't discipline your child, you don't love your child, you hate your child. Oh, isn't he fun today? What about the turkey and stuffing? All right. During recent daily devotions, Greg gave me a nice little book from Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It was just the Psalms and the Proverbs in 1 month. So I took the challenge, reading through all the Psalms and Proverbs in 1 month. It's been good. And I was reminded by the Old Testament book of Psalms. They call God's people to rejoice and give thanks all the time, right? If you have your Bible open or your bulletin open, the scripture is there as well. Psalm 100, 1 and 2. What does it say? "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." That's why we do worship music here every Sunday. And our team does it well. Let me just brag on them for a minute because I'm grateful for them. Do you know our worship team are all professional musicians? We just didn't drag them off the street and say, "Sing," right? Yes, thank you. They all have been paid in bands and serve, you know, been doing this stuff for years. And so we're grateful because they help us lead us in songs of praise and worship. During my devotions, during the preparation for Thanksgiving Day, Deb and I have a special opportunity. We get to host, cook for, and host all the kids and half the staff at the Linda Massa Youth Home over here who don't have anywhere to go or whatever. We're excited about that. And in thinking about that opportunity, I thought, I have a lot to be thankful for. And I bet you have a lot to be thankful for too. Here's a great little spiritual exercise. I come around to this one this time every year. Any of you who have been around for a while have heard me talk about this. It's simply this week, take a few minutes, slow down, take a scrap of paper and a pen or whatever, and write down 10 specific things that you are grateful to God for. It's a really concrete, practical, devotional idea. You can do it with your kids, so you don't have to deal with little Mary or the kid at the movies last night, right? Some people, before they have grace, before Thanksgiving, they require every person to share one thing they're grateful for. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. That's a good thing, I think. What a practical thing. So here's my list for this year. A couple of them are repeats, just because I want to live. And I'm selfish like that. Some of them are new as well. Here's my list for the year. 10 reasons. You can do this at home as well. First one is, I'm thankful for a beautiful wife who helps and supports me in the ministry. Some of you have been around here for a few years. Remember a few years ago, I made her number 10. And she wasn't buying it. Ooh, that was the gift that kept on giving, and it wasn't the Jelly of the Month Club, Vern. I said, I'm saving the best for last. She wasn't buying it. So my wife, Deb, is number one. I'm thankful for two fine sons. I'm very proud of my son. Zach owns a couple Airbnbs in Puerto Rico, which sounds pretty sweet right now. Negative 10 last night. I think he had a plan. My youngest son is in Denver. He's a freight broker trying to fix this mess in our country. His company runs about 10% of the freight, trains, planes, and automobiles in the U.S., so he's always busy there. I like to say, my sons work too hard and are too busy to sin, which isn't bad for young men. So I'm thankful for that, too. Now that my sons have flown the coop, here's a new one. I'm thankful that I can eat nice food. Any of you had boys? Some of you are like, yeah. They stopped eating me out of house and home when they left, and I just want to encourage the benders. The day is coming. The day is coming. It's coming. You guys are cool and all, but you cost mommy and daddy a lot of money. You're awesome. I'm grateful for a mother and a grandmother who led me to faith in Christ. You know, my mother made me go to Sunday school, even though I didn't want to sometimes. My brother used to run down the street, and the old ladies were chasing him and stuff. Those are fun memories. But that was such an important learning time for me. Some people I hear say, even Christians say, well, I don't want to make my children go to Sunday school. Well, why not? You make them go to a secular, half-godless school 5 days a week, right? What, can't they get a little Jesus once a week? I thought I'm supposed to be thankful. Anyway, I'm grateful to own my first home. I got a little hobby farm, 10 acres, and wow, you know, with this crazy market, it's at least doubled in value. That's pretty cool. I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful that I get to live in Montana. Big sky. This has been great. Almost 10 years now. I've lived in some pretty crappy places I won't share with you, but this is gorgeous. I am grateful. Now, here's a new one. I am grateful for the increasing size of my gun collection. It's now almost Montana respectable. This would have got me put away for decades in Chicago, but I'm loving it. Here's a fun one. I'm thankful for my big, beautiful bull mastiff named Bella. Now, she looks like death on a cracker if you come to my house. She's a big baby. And then thanks to the benders, I like my big black cat, Boo Boo. Josh wanted me to name him after a Star Wars character, but it's Boo Boo, you know? And he's kind of runs the place. He was tiny when I got him. Now he's this big tank. He's a street fighter too. Fun. I love animals. I am thankful for fantastic ministry leaders here at Mosaic Church. They make ministry not only a calling, but a joy. So thank you guys. Some of the best ministry leaders I've had in 30 years of ministry. And I'm also thankful for the privilege of pastoring and being part of such a unique and amazing church and Christian family here, filled with gracious and compassionate Christian people. Love you guys. Here's my list for the year. Maybe something you can do this year as well, and maybe with your family, maybe with the kids or the grandkids. Give it a try this year. Bible's open, Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It's He who has made us. We are His. We are the people and the sheep of His pasture. Jesus is a good shepherd. He's shepherded us well this year. He's provided us with food, clothing, shelter, new life in Jesus' name. If you really are grateful for that, verse 4, Psalm 100, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. You know, it is a privilege to be in church. You know, there are so many of your brothers and sisters around the world that it's dangerous to do that. It's banned. It is a penalty for prison time, right? And I hear some people, I don't want to get up for church. You know, if you do and you come, you'll be glad you did, right? What is your attitude towards assembling with your brothers and sisters? Do you get it or do you gotta? If you gotta go to church, you're gonna peel off. But if you gotta, then good stuff can really, really happen in your life. How can we not give thanks and praise to God during this season? How can we not have an attitude of gratitude? You know, we've talked about this before, but researchers have actually now proven that grateful people suffer from less stress and depression. Did you know that? Than ungrateful people. They've even scientifically proven that smiling triggers positive emotions, releasing serotonin, dopamine, endorphins. Those naturally help us to feel better. Mother Teresa says this too. Smiling and humor is actually contagious. Even if you don't have anything you can give someone in need, you can smile, right? You can be kind, right? We've said that before. Gratitude is an antidote to the spiritual poison of envy. Oh, that's when it starts beginning during the holiday seasons, isn't it? Or it really comes into the fore in some sense. Isn't much of the envy that you and I experience in our lives really and truly simply a matter of ingratitude? Oh, how come they get this? Or how come I can't have that? How about stop looking at everybody else and thank God for what he's given you? How about that? Just a thought. Kind of like the time. When an old pastor died and went to heaven, he met St. Peter, who greeted him and said, "You've lived a life of gratitude filled with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are the keys to your hut." And the pastor was delighted with his new hut. He had everything he could possibly need, but then he did something. He opened the curtains, looked out the window, and he was bitten by the green monster of envy, as they used to say, when he saw a huge mansion nearby. Oh, here it how it begins. The pastor asked Jesus' chief apostle, "Excuse me, St. Peter, sir, who gets to live in the mansion?" Pastor was shocked to hear Peter say, "Oh, the mansion's for the lawyer." "A lawyer," the pastor cried, and addressing St. Peter once again, he said, "St. Peter, sir, I don't wish to appear ungrateful, but why does the lawyer get to live in a mansion? I serve Jesus all of my life, and I only get a hut." Here we go. Irked at the pastor's matter of ingratitude, Peter replied, we've got dozens and dozens of pastors around here, but we only got one lawyer in heaven. So he gets the nice place. It's bad theology. Don't take that home with you. All right? Jeez. How can we not wake up every single morning in our lives and not say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful to be alive today." You know, so many people live the proverbial life half empty. "Oh, it's not very good. It's okay." You know, that's the gospel according to Eeyore. It's sin. Pitch it. God has given us so much. And through the eyes of grace and gratitude, you can know that your cup is full to overflowing. Amen? You start thanking God for stuff, your day is going to look better. I promise you. It's written into the fabric of things. Everything in Jesus, I mean everything, is yes and amen, as the scriptures say. Gratitude will help you experience more joy. Do you know depression goes through the roof during the holiday seasons? Sadness, depression, even suicide? When you practice gratitude, you'll experience more happiness and joy. Who could not use a little more joy in their life right now? I think we probably all could, right? All could. Ingratitude, the problem with that is it is a narrow prison. Why? Because ingratitude just focuses on your own small and boring self. You were never meant to live your life just for yourself, but for others, right? Loving others, loving God with your all, loving your neighbor as yourself, you know, that whole great commandment sort of thing for Christians. So as a Christian, here's a question, right? Is your current life a matter of ingratitude? If it's so, why? You need to think and pray about that. We've all have so much to be grateful for. Remember to count your blessings, as we've sang about, as the old hymn talks about, during the Thanksgiving week. This is your opportunity. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his love endures for how long? Forever, his faithfulness continues through all the generations." Right? So cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Why? Because it pleases your heavenly Father, and it will bring more happiness and joy into your own life, but not your own life as solely, but well as the lives of others. If you're ungrateful, it spills over to everybody else, doesn't it? If you're grateful, it spills over. That's why. So I wish you and your loved ones a very happy Thanksgiving Day on Thursday. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have so much to be grateful for. Forgive us for our ingratitude. May you change our attitudes of ingratitude to one of grateful praise and thanks. Lord, just pray your blessing on each one of your people here today. Whatever they may or may not be doing this coming week, we pray that one thing that would be true is that they would have grateful hearts, thankful hearts. Lord, we want to be a thankful and grateful church as well. And we just give you thanks once again for all your blessings in our lives. We thank you, we praise you, we honor and glorify you, and we do it always, only, and always through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, saying, amen. Amen.